Men with spears came running through the snow. Men with bows took up positions, knocking arrows. A wall of several hundred men put themselves between her and the command tents. More were coming at a run, pulling on clothes, shouting to others still in their tents. Kaelin and the three men with her came to a halt. She stood tall and still. Behind her, Shandalin, Prindon, and Tossadin leaned lazily on their spears. A man of rank tumbled out of the largest tent as he pulled on a heavy, brown coat. He made his way through the wall of men, shouting at the archers to hold their arrows. He was joined by two others of rank as he stumbled through the line of defenders. She recognized his rank as he approached. He was the captain. The two men with him, one to each side, were lieutenants. When he drew himself to a panting halt before her, she let the hood of her mantle drop back. Her long hair fell across the white fur.
"What is the—"
The captain's eyes went suddenly wide. He and the two lieutenants collapsed to a knee. Every man, as far as she could see, fell to his knees. Every head bowed. The rustle of wool, the creak of leather, and the clang of steel fell silent. The three men with her cast one another glances of wonder. They had never seen the Mother Confessor greeted by anyone but mud people before. The only sound was the slow creak of branches in the cold breeze.
"Rise, my children."
Accompanied by the renewed racket of movement, all came to their feet. The captain stood and gave her a smart bow from the waist. He came up with a proud smile.
"Mother Confessor, what an honor!"
Kaelin stared in disbelief at his square jaw, his wavy, light brown hair, his clear blue eyes, his young, handsome face.
"You're a child,"
she whispered. She looked around to the hundreds, the thousands of young, bright eyes all fixed on her. She blinked at them. She could feel the blood going to her face. Her fists tightened as she shook with rage.
"You're children! You're all children!"
The captain glanced back to his men with an embarrassed expression bordering on hurt.
"Mother Confessor, we're new recruits, but we're all soldiers of the Galilean army."
"You're all children,"
she whispered.
"Children."
Silence swept over the gathered recruits. Most looked to be 15 or 16 years. The captain and his two lieutenants shifted their weight and hung their heads. Some of the men couldn't help staring openly at Shandalin, Prindon, and Tossadin. They had never seen anyone like them before. Kaelin grabbed the captain's lapels and began dragging him off. She growled to the two lieutenants, "You two come along with us." She glared over their heads.
"Everyone go back to what you were doing."
There was a rattle of swords being returned to scabbards and arrows to quivers as she dragged the captain out of earshot of his men. When she reached the trees, she pulled him toward a log and released him with an angry shove. Kaelin flopped down on a snow-covered log as if it were a throne. She folded her arms. Shandalin stood to her right, Prindon and Tossadin to her left. They planted the butts of their spears and waited in silence. She gritted her teeth.
"What is your name, Captain?"
He fumbled with a brass button on his open coat.
"I'm Bradley Ryan."
His blue eyes came up.
"Captain Bradley Ryan, Mother Confessor."
He quickly glanced away to the man at his right.
"This is Lieutenant Nolan Sloan."
He pointed to the other side.
"This is Lieutenant Flynn Hobson."
"How many children do you have along with you, Captain Ryan?"
He stiffened a little.
"Mother Confessor, we may be younger than you, although not by much, and you may not think highly of us, but we're soldiers. Good soldiers."
"Good soldiers."
She was hardly able to keep herself from screaming at him.
"If you're such good soldiers, why was I able to walk unnoticed through your line of sentries?"
His face reddened, and he made a visible effort to remain silent.
"And is there a one of these good soldiers, including you three, that is beyond 18?
He pressed his lips tighter and shook his head.
"Then I repeat, how many children do you have along with you?"
"There are 4,500 under my command."
"And do you know, Captain Ryan, that you are about to stumble upon a force 10 times your size?"
Captain Ryan lifted an eyebrow, and a little boy grin grew out of one side of his mouth.
"We're not about to stumble upon anyone, Mother Confessor. We're about to catch them. We've been chasing them. I think we'll have them tomorrow."
She gritted her teeth anew.
"Have them? Tomorrow, if I hadn't caught up with you, young man, you and all your men would die. You have no idea of the army you are about to catch."
He lifted his chin.
We know what we are chasing. We have scouts, you know. I get reports.
Kaelin shot to her feet, thrusting her arm to the right and pointing.
There are 50,000 men around that mountain.
52,000, then a few hundred.
He shrugged.
We're not stupid. We know what we're doing.
Her arm dropped as she glared.
Oh, you do, do you? And just what were you going to do once you caught them?
Captain Ryan smiled as he leaned in, sure that he could prove to her that he did indeed know what he was doing.
Well, they're about to come to a divergence in the pass. I'm going to send a force up there, around them, to come in from each fork. They'll think they're being attacked by a large force. We're going to drive them back this way, where we're going to be waiting for them beyond the narrows just ahead. Then, we're going to retreat back this way, to the narrows, then split the flank, let them in until they have nowhere to go. The pikemen will be bunched in the narrowest place. They're called the anvil. Archers to the sides will hold the enemy to the center. The force driving them is called the hammer.
His grin widened. We'll crush them in the middle. He flicked his hand in a casual manner as he straightened a little.
It's a classic tactic. It's called a hammer and anvil.
Dumbfounded, Kaelin stared at him.
I know what it's called, young man. The hammer and anvil is a bold maneuver under the right conditions. Against a force 10 times your size, it's beyond foolhardy. You are a badger trying to swallow an ox whole.
We were taught that with good timing and determination, a small force of good men in a tight place like this valley.
Good men? You think that's going to count with the spirits? Is that what your pride and presumption leads you to think?
The captain's eyes descended to the ground.
You can't push a boulder with a stick. The only way to move them back this way is to frighten them into moving back.
She thrust her arm out, pointing off toward the enemy again.
Those are experienced, battle-hardened men. They've been fighting and killing for a good long time. Do you think they don't know what a hammer and anvil is? Do you think that just because they're the enemy they are stupid?
Well, no, but I think...
She jabbed a finger at his chest as she cut him off.
Do you want me to tell you what's going to happen, Captain? You don't have enough men to push them. When you send that detachment around them, they will accommodate you and move a little. And as they do, they'll wing out to let your force in. That's called a nutcracker. Guess who the nut is? Then they will move. For your anvil, they will be hounds roused to the scent of blood. After they've wiped out your hammer, there will be nothing to contain them, nothing to keep their flanks from wheeling as they drive in. They have battle experience and know exactly what to do. They'll split your pikemen and their archers and cut them off from their supporting swordsmen. A flying wedge, protected by shield, will drive into those pikemen. Crescents to the sides will trap them. Their armored cavalry will come at a full charge and rake down your wings of archers, who will by then have no pikemen to blunt the charge. You will all fight bravely, but you will be outnumbered perhaps 20-1 because you've already sacrificed part of your force to be the hammer, and they will all be dead by then. To fight a larger force, you must divide them and conquer them one bit at a time. Instead, you will have done the opposite. You will have divided yourself in half for them, so they can kill half at a time, at their leisure.
The captain stood his ground.
We can make a good show of ourselves. You don't know how good we are. We're not novices.
Every one of those children under your command will die. Have you ever seen anyone die, Captain? Not die like an old man in bed, but in battle? You will be run through with spears, shot through the eyes with arrows. Swords will hack off arms, split open ribs. Blades will rip your bellies open and spill your guts across the cold ground. Faces you know, your friends, these children, will look up at you in panic as they choke on their own blood and vomit. Others will be screaming for help as your enemy moves through the wounded on the ground and eviscerates them to make them suffer a gruesome death. The ones who surrender will be executed while your enemy dances and sings about the great battle they have just won.
Captain Ryan's head finally rose. His lieutenants still stared at the ground.
You sound like Prince Harold, Mother Confessor. He has given me close to the same speech on a number of occasions.
Prince Harold is a smart soldier.
Captain Ryan buttoned 2 of the brass buttons on his dark brown wool coat.
But that doesn't change my decision. Of all our choices, the hammer and anvil is the best chance we have against them. I believe we can make it work. We must.
Chandelin leaned toward her and spoke in his tongue.
Mother Confessor, these men are the walking dead. We should be away from them so we do not get caught in their foolishness. They are going to die to a man.
The captain frowned.
What did he say?
Kalin leaned close to the young captain.
He says you are all going to die tomorrow.
Captain Ryan looked Chandelin up and down.
What does he know about battle? He's just a savage from the wilds.
Kalin lifted an eyebrow.
Savage? He's a pretty smart man. He speaks two languages, his and ours.
Captain Ryan swallowed.
And he has fought in battles. He has killed men. How many men have you killed, Bradley?
He glanced to his two lieutenants.
Well, none, I guess.
Look, I'm sorry, I meant no offense, but I know about war.
And what do you know about war, child?
She whispered.
We're all volunteers. Myself 3 years ago. Almost no man here has less than 1 year. We've all trained hard. Prince Harald himself has worked with us, taught us tactics. We've won mock battles against him several times. We may be young, but we have experience. We were sent on this expedition as a final test before our assignments. We've been afield nearly a month, practicing war games and battle tactics. We know what we are about. Just because we're young, that doesn't mean we can't fight. We may be young, but that also means we're strong.
Chandelin laughed.
Strong? You travel like women.
He cleared his throat when Kalin lifted an eyebrow to him.
Well, some women. You are not so strong as you think. You are soft. You have wagons to carry your needs. That makes you soft. You will die tomorrow.
Kalin turned back to the three soldiers.
My friend is wrong. You are not going to die tomorrow.
The captain brightened.
We're not? You believe in us, then?
She shook her head.